Adventure 14, tell me again, why did we surrender? Session 14. Walking forward, the new Jithyanki commander introduced himself to the party and explained their situation. It takes guts to turn yourself in willingly, especially considering your crimes. As such, instead of forcibly removing all of your weapons and magical items from your possession, I will simply ask you to relinquish them peacefully. It would be easy for us to find anything you try to hide from us, so I trust you not to be stupid. What crimes are you trying to hold us for? Queried Milo. What crimes? The commander shouted. The breaking and entering of this fully sanctioned military base. The wholesale slaughter of this base's personnel, including several young soldiers in training. The destruction of our property. What crimes aren't we holding you for? The party exchanged a silent look among each other. The crimes were serious. You could almost see everyone weighing the size of the two Titans' guns against the almost absolute certainty of death at the hands of the Jithyanki. The Titans' guns were bigger. So we will be getting a fair trial? Milo asked. Of course you will. Two lawyers have already been dispatched by the Dragon Empire in order to ensure objectivity during the trial. We will hold you until they arrive, at which time you will be fairly tried. Maybe we can make a deal? Milo asked, looking to Colonel Antififia. As the party collectively glared at Milo, the Colonel replied. There is little I could do to help you. As you attacked the Jithyanki's base, it is their jurisdiction. Maybe we could do a service for you? Milo wheedled. Moving close, Antififia leaned into Milo and whispered to him, "We can talk about this later." Raising her voice, so that everyone could hear, she said, "Will you surrender your weapons and magical items now?" Perhaps not too unexpectedly, Zoltan asked a very nonsensical question, "What kind of food do you have here?" "You may have anything that you wish," the commander replied. Zoltan nodded his approval and tucked this piece of knowledge away for later use. The group was somewhat at a loss. It was obvious that even in a fair trial, the Jithyanki would assuredly be able to ensure the party's death. At the same time, however, the Titan's presence suggested that any resistance would just be a quicker route to the same destination. Slowly, the party began to turn over their equipment. Weapon after weapon, the party watched all of their equipment placed into several bags, each with an accompanying name tag. In the hope that the Jithyanki truly trusted the party, to be honest, Sid failed to mention his headband, just as Alejandra managed to evade all notice and kept all of her gear. A short walk later found the party in the Jithyanki base's prison. Apparently the prisoners the party had released had all been cut down by Jithyanki troops before they could make an escape. A momentary pang of guilt was experienced, but facing more imminent problems, it didn't last long. The group had been set back to square one. For the most part, they were all in the same situation they had been when they had landed on planet Afex. "What the heck are you doing?" Zoltan shouted at Milo once everyone had been placed into their cells. "We don't want a fair trial. If we get a fair trial, we are going to get killed." "Better to get Antififia to let us off," Milo explained. Milo's logic was sound, but no one was comfortable with the thought of an alliance with Colonel Antififia, a person everyone had come to blame for all of his or her present problems. With party tensions running high and little else to do, the group began speaking to some of the other prisoners. In the cell next to Sid was a strange man who introduced himself as Wang Ludong. He spoke with a weird amalgam of accents, the strangest of all being dwarven despite his lack of knowledge of the language. Zoltan shared a cell with a rather large Gnarl, but it was quickly obvious that they didn't share a common language. Zoltan stayed far from the Gnarl and the Gnarl did the same. Milo shared his cell with an elf named Nick Delosier. A wizard of not insignificant power himself, Nick and Sid quickly began to discuss magical theory to pass the time. Everyone else tried to ignore their otherwise nonsensical babbling. Banrak shared a cell with a female high elf named Drew, who likewise professed an aptitude in the magical arts. She seemed somewhat withdrawn, however, and offered little conversation. Alejandra was quick to realize that the High Elf Drew was the identity she had bought from the man in car. In Orendel's cell, a half-orc sullenly sat in a corner, likewise offering little in the way of conversation. And so time passed, with little being said, until it was time for dinner. As dinner was being served, Zoltan exclaimed, "I thought we could get whatever we wanted. I don't remember my order being taken." With a put-upon sigh, the guard asked Zoltan what he would like to have. I want a Caesar salad, plain duck, and some bread pudding with white chocolate sauce. That will be good for tonight." With that, Zoltan dismissed the server with a wave of his hand. The server, rolling his eyes, stalked off, but in the end Zoltan did get his meal. The next day everyone was surprised when Colonel Antififia strode into the prison. Moving to Milo's cell, she wasted no time with niceties. "You mentioned a use you may have? You know how skilled we are. Surely there is something we could do for you in exchange for our freedom? You are quite skilled, but why would the Aist need ones such as you? Surely we would be more useful working for you than we would going to trial. Like there will really be a trial?" Zoltan shouted with a laugh. With a small flicker of her eye, the colonel smirked. "Your friend Zoltan is more perceptive than he seems, which is saying a lot. I can keep you all here as long as I want. But I will consider your offer. And I will take Banrak with me for now.
Wait. What about the reward?
We did bring her to you. Zoltan shouted again.
What reward?
Don't play stupid. The reward you promised the Ursuk.
I do not know of any Ursuk.
Maybe you should tell me.
Oh, guess I was talking about someone else then.
Go ahead and take her.
Colonel Antiphia frowned for a moment before calling in two Githyanki guards.
Entering Banrak's cell, the guards grabbed her and dragged her out kicking and screaming.
Banrak glowered darkly at the party.
How can you let them do this?
An awkward silence followed the quartet's exit.
However, the silence was more than just guilt about Banrak.
She didn't send the Ursuk, Milo commented to no one in particular.
Someone else was hunting Banrak.
Banrak had not been gone long before she was returned.
Two guards carelessly tossed her back into her cell, where she crawled into a corner and began to cry.
An awkward silence hung about the room.
Concerned for her friend, Alejandra began trying to comfort Banrak.
With the help of Alejandra, Banrak slowly regained control of her emotions.
Haltingly, Banrak explained what had happened when she was taken.
First, you have to know something about my home planet.
My planet lies within the Dragon Empire, but is nigh but unreachable by conventional means.
Instead, my people have constructed a gate system to connect it to other planets.
Only those native to my planet know how to operate the gates, but with the proper knowledge anyone could go anywhere within the Dragon Empire and in some cases, beyond.
The Aist would give anything for access to our gates, and for that reason they cannot possibly gain that knowledge.
I know they would use it unjustly.
Colonel Antiphia tells me something has invaded my planet.
An alien force that the Aist has never encountered.
From what she said, I don't think she plans on doing anything about them.
I think she would rather watch the creatures and see what they do to my world.
But there's hope.
Antiphia wants me to go back to my planet with some of her technicians to my planet, so that they can take more accurate readings of the menace.
If you all would agree to come with me, maybe we could stop whatever these things are.
Any chance to escape was a welcome one, although no one trusted Antiphia to keep her word.
Eventually though, everyone had decided to help Banrak save her planet.
Somehow though, they would have to stop the drow from learning the secrets of Thronia's gates.
Time passed, most of it spent idly contemplating the coming venture.
And then, the Githyanki commander entered into the prison.
He did a quick survey of the room before addressing the group.
The judge may be more lenient on you all, if you would be willing to tell us what happened.
Yeah right, Zoltan shouted.
You know, that there aren't any lawyers coming for us.
What do you mean?
It's obvious.
Don't be a fool.
Why do you think lawyers are coming?
Colonel Antiphia assured me that they were.
Antiphia cannot be trusted, Orendel interjected.
She wants to see us dead.
She plans on arranging a backward accident.
Check it out.
Very well.
I will investigate the matter.
If you are lying, however, it will be to your detriment.
The commander turned about and left the room.
What are you two doing? Shouted Milo.
We don't want to be tried.
I was thinking maybe we could turn the commander against Antiphia and escape in the confusion, Orendel offered.
We can't trust Antiphia.
I don't think we have much of a choice.
Antiphia is at least willing to let us live.
The commander would have us all killed given half the chance.
With little left to say, the group again fell into boredom.
Time crawled by, as the party sat within the jail cell.
Debates burst forth sporadically before being shot down again.
Orendel was adamant that Antiphia could not be trusted and that it would be better to turn ourselves over to the commander and escape from him later.
Milo wanted to get out at all costs, even if it meant making a deal with Antiphia.
Zoltan wanted to shoot things, or maybe he just wanted more food.
Either way, he wasn't too happy.
Sid, Alejandra, and Warnich had varied opinions on the group's varied plans.
None of them knew what was coming, except that it probably wouldn't be good.
The commander returned in a few days.
Quick and to the point, he entered and admitted that his sources suggested that perhaps lawyers weren't coming.
If you help me out, perhaps I can help you out.
What do you want from us? Yelled Zoltan.
We know you broke into this base.
We know you killed several of our soldiers, who were still in training.
You murdered this base's previous commander as well as two of its warlocks.
We know you stole a large amount of diamonds from us.
If you turn the diamonds over, I will protect you from Antiphia.
We didn't steal those diamonds.
They were given to us by the previous commander.
He gave them to you? The commander asked skeptically.
Yeah.
He hired us to help train the soldiers.
The ones who failed the test died.
He paid us with the diamonds.
I find that highly unlikely.
I know this base had a large amount of gems before you came here, and now it has much less.
Where are the diamonds?
They're in his bag.
Sid said.
All the diamonds we took are in Zoltan's bags.
Look and you will find them.
Zoltan was outraged, and made that obvious, while the commander ordered two guards to search through Zoltan's bags.
Finding that they were indeed stuffed with diamonds, the bags were removed and the commander left the room.
What are you doing?
He obviously doesn't know how many diamonds we took.
If we give him some of them, maybe he won't look for the rest. And since you were the only one who brought diamonds with you, you got to give yours up. Prison was definitely fraying the party's nerves. The next day Antiphithia paid the party a visit. It's not nice trying to turn the commander against me. I shall leave you here to be tried and executed. I assume Banrak has briefed you on my goals? And I assume you have all agreed to go? In a few days I will have everything prepared. I will tell the commander I'm moving you to a different prison for your trial. Instead I will move you to my ship in orbit. Do not cross me. Her speech delivered, Antiphithia stormed out, before any response could be uttered. The commander returned yet again the next day. Having recovered the base's stolen diamonds, he was quick to ask the party for what they would have him do. Antiphithia is going to move us in a few days. You should move us instead. I fear she's going to execute us without trial, Orendel explained. No. Leave us here. She won't move us, now that you know, Milo yelled out. What would you have me do? I could move you by yourself, if you want. Orendel, realizing his plan wouldn't work without the rest of the group, declined. The commander shrugged and left. It was the day before Antiphithia was set to move the party onboard to her ship. The prison doors opened and a young male human was brought in and thrown into a cell. His name was Jelly Lagus. He had been picked up in the area of the base and was being held by the Jithyanki for now. It was obvious, however, that this was another smokescreen created by Antiphithia. He had been offered the same choice as the party, and once everyone had explained the situation to him, had reluctantly agreed. The final day passed slowly and everyone slept fitfully the night before. As the day dawned, no one could have guessed what was coming.